Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy discussions with Circle Sanctuary's Senior Minister, Selena Fox, on various topics related to nature spirituality. Tonight's podcast is an encore presentation from 2013, where Selena discussed ways of honoring, 2014, where Selena discussed ways of honoring and working with sun divinities across cultures and traditions.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we are going to explore sun deities. We're going to take a look at some of the sun goddesses and gods around the world, across cultures, and across traditions. Let's begin with an honoring of the divine sun. Divine sun, we call to you. Divine sun, we honor you. Divine sun, you're within us and around us. Divine sun, we honor you as goddess. We honor you as God. We honor you as spirit. Shine within us and around us now and in the times to come. So mote it be. There are a variety of different pagan traditions from ancient times through the present day, how the sun is honored can vary substantially. And the names and the forms that are connected with the sun also vary from place to place, from people to people. We're going to take a look at some of the sacred names and deity forms for the sun. In some Wiccan traditions, the sun takes the form of a sun god and the moon goddess. But not all pagan traditions have that pattern. The Circle Craft tradition looks at the sun as a sacred form, but makes allowances to be able to connect with both gods and goddesses of the sun, rather than typecasting the sun specifically as male or as female. And one of the ways of honoring the sun as sacred is to be able to look into one's own personal affinities with a particular culture, place, spiritual tradition. A good place to begin is your own ethnic ancestry. How did your ancestors back in time honor the sun? Did they conceptualize the sun as a goddess or a god? Or both? What survivals of folk traditions are there for the sun and celebrating the sun, connecting with the sun? What are the stories? What are the symbols? what are the places? In my own case, I have a multicultural ancestry. And over time, as I have looked into some of the folkways of some of my ancestral lines, I've come to appreciate the rich diversity there is in folklore, folkways, and spirituality. On my father's side, his father's mother was from Sweden. And I begin with talking about the sun in old Sweden. We have some survivals of that sun divinity in the present day, known as Santa Lucia or Saint Lucy, a Christian form of a much older goddess of light. Her day is celebrated not only in Sweden, but some other parts of Scandinavia, and because of people relocating and moving to other countries, St. Lucy's Day is December 13th, is celebrated in many different countries. It is part of a winter solstice celebration. Due to calendar changes over time, December 13th, once upon a time, was coinciding with the winter solstice. I continue to celebrate winter solstice over a period of time, as some ancient peoples did as well, not limiting it to the day of solstice. And for me, my way of celebrating the rebirth of the sun, the winter solstice begins with Lucia's day, December 13th. In contemporary forms and in the ancient past, the tradition is having a young woman dressed in white with a red sash about her waist representing the red of life and the sun, and on her head a crown of lights. The traditional way is to actually have a crown of candles, but in more contemporary times, these have the live flames sometimes are replaced with electric candles. So literally you have what appears to be a sun maiden in a procession at Yuletide, not just in pagan places, but within Lutheran churches. Lucia is a Christian saint, but also a pagan goddess of light and connected with the sun. Now, some say Lucia actually has her roots with Lucina, an ancient Roman goddess of light and childbirth, that some say was associated with the sun as well, not the sun, but being a goddess of light and the sun being so prominent, has that connection. And in contemporary pagan traditions in different parts of the world, Lucia and Lucina are considered one sacred form and connected with the winter solstice sun. Some other ways of looking at the sun in sacred forms takes us to Ireland. And this goddess is connected with the midsummer time, the summer solstice, and the sun. She is the Irish goddess of summer, Anya. She is also associated with wealth, sovereignty. She has place associations as well, although was honored throughout Ireland. In particular, she was strongly associated with County Limerick. The hill of Knock Anya was named after her, and in ancient times was a site of rituals for her. She is also honored in the form of the Fairy Queen, and her very name means brightness, glow, splendor, radiance, and joy. Also from Ireland and some other Celtic peoples and places is Bridget, bride. Her name takes many forms. On my father's side, I also have ancestors who are connected with this sun goddess. In fact, in my own life, I found myself already drawn to Bridget images and working with her in my personal practice before I realized that there was a family ancestral folklore connection. Some of my ancestors on my father's mother's side, I'm tracing their line way back into Old Scotland, kept one of St. Bridget's holy sites, and before that, Bridget's holy sites, also known as Breish and Bride, and by some other variants of her name. Many people consider Bridget a goddess of fire, and she certainly is the goddess of inspiration, of healing, of the forge. She is a sun goddess as well. And some of the depictions of Bridget show the fire in the head, the metaphor for creative inspiration, as a crown of flames around her head. What most is known about her connection with the sun, though, is her sacred symbol, known as a Bridget's cross or a Bridget's wheel. Most of the time, it has equal armed forms, although there are some that instead of four rays are three. The four-rayed sun symbol, the Bridget's cross, the Bridget's wheel, is not only used to represent her, but it is a home blessing charm. Her holiday is connected most strongly with Imwalk, which is February 2nd. Thereabouts, some celebrate January 30th, some say February 1st. She is often depicted as a sun maiden, and at some ceremonies, including those at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we will have a young maiden wear a crown of lights to our Imwalk festival, and is a representation of the goddess in her maiden form at that festival. And in that way, it links her with the idea of a crowned female representing a divinity of light. It links her with Lucia and Lucina. When we look across cultures, we recognize that there can be variations depending on the groups and where in time one is looking for information. Let's talk a bit about some other forms of the sun amongst Celtic people. Belenos is a sun god amongst some Celtic peoples and gives his name to Beltane. Also connected with fire and the idea of moving through a gateway made by two fires for purification, or jumping over a Baal fire, a Bel fire, for purification and good fortune. Those are some of the traditions connected with this old sun god. Most of the time, amongst Wiccans and some other pagans, Lu, the Celtic god, is associated with sun and honored as a sun god amongst his other attributes. And his holiday is 6 months after the feast time of Bridget. It's Lunasa Lammas, or what we call the Green Spirit Festival at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And we kindle fires in his honor at that time as well. He also rules and inspires crafting Bridget. There are a variety of different sun deities from old Europe. Many people are familiar with Apollo, first honored as a sun god in old Greece, but also became part of the honoring of the sun in ancient Rome. In addition to being a sun god, Apollo was connected with prophecy. In fact, the Oracle at Delphi was an Apollo sacred site during part of the ancient world. It originally began connected with the earth goddess, the earth mother, Gaia, but then became associated with Apollo and music and inspiration. Apollo is often shown with a lyre, a harp. He was a god of inspiration, inspiring poetry and the performing arts. And Apollo was also known for his healing powers. Before Apollo, many say the god of the sun was Helios. And Helios is best depicted as a sun god driving a chariot across the heavens, usually seen as pulled by horses. In ancient Rome, which absorbed and transformed and did their own versions of some of the Greek gods and goddesses, Helios's connection and Roman form is Sol, the sun god Sol, S-O-L. Sol gives us the name solstice. And indeed, solstice, the name means the sun standing still, the stis part. And that comes from those observing the rising and setting of the sun along the horizon. And in the east, as one looks at sunrise, at solstice time, it does appear to be arising from the same point on the horizon at each of the solstices for several days. And for that reason, in honoring the sun at solstice time, it was not just the point of solstice, it was a celebration that happened across time. there are other sun gods that were honored amongst the ancients. Mithras, an Iranian or Persian sun god, was not only honored in that part of the world, but as the Roman Empire grew and expanded and incorporated that part of the world, many of those who were in Rome's military became devotees of Mithras. And another form of the sun in ancient Rome was Sol Invictus, a name that meant the unconquered sun. Here you have the sun god's name, Sol, and one of the titles for Mithras was Sol Invictus. Sol Invictus had a birthday, December 25th, and because of that day and being linked with the winter solstice amongst the Romans when the Roman Empire became Christianized and Constantine took on Christianity as part of his philosophical and spiritual mix, eventually that date, which was a day for honoring pagan solar deities, became connected with the birthday of Jesus Christ in Christianity. Some Christians, especially those who are involved in mystical forms of Christianity and Christo-pagans who combine Christianity and paganism, view Jesus as a form of sun god. Some link him more with a green god form because of death and resurrection. But certainly in looking at Christian high holy days of Christmas, birth of Jesus, and Easter, death and resurrection of Jesus, sun images figure prominently amongst those in Christianity and different branches of Christianity. In fact, being able to see the sunrise on Easter morning, which is done as a Christian practice amongst some branches of Christianity, originally began as a practice amongst pagans. In addition to looking at these forms of the divine, there in the ancient times were a variety of different god forms and goddess forms that made their way into the classical world, and some of these came from other parts of Europe, and some came from Egypt. Certainly, Egypt and its civilization that lasted for thousands of years had many honorings of the sun. Most people know about Ra or Re, the sun god. He originally began as the midday sun god, Heliopolis. Was the center of worship, and Ra often is depicted with a solar disk. He later got associated and combined with Horus, another god associated with the sun amongst the ancient Egyptians. And at other times and places amongst the Egyptians, he took the form of Amun-Ra, the solar creator god, the source of light, energy, power, warmth. Sun god was very much linked in with rulership, with the pharaohs. Often Ra was seen as driving a chariot through the heavens. While he began as a midday sun god, later his worship grew and expanded, where he was honored throughout the day. Also in Old Egypt, in different places across the ages, we had sun goddesses. The cat and lioness were associated with the sun. And Bast, also known as Bastet, was the daughter of the sun god Ra. And some say she and her sister Sekhmet were one in the same goddess, or different aspects of the same goddess. But over time, their worship became more distinct. And Bast was considered the goddess of the rising sun, and Sekhmet, the goddess of the midday sun. Bast often was associated with sunlight, with the home. She was a fertility goddess, blessing pregnant women. She was connected with fire. Bubastis was the center of her worship. She was seen as more of a healing, gentle, rays of the sun type goddess. Later on, she also became linked with the moon, especially during the Ptolemy's rule of Old Egypt. Sekhmet, a lioness connected with the midday sun, her worship was in Memphis in Old Egypt. She was a fiercer goddess. She was the goddess of destruction, but also a very powerful goddess of healing. And one of the ways for doing healing was to destroy disease, destroy plague and other illnesses. She was a patroness of physicians and healers of many kinds. And she typically was depicted with a woman's body and a lion's head. Bast, woman's body and cat head. As we continue to explore the sun and sun divinities, let us journey to the Baltic and connect with Saale, the Baltic sun goddess, in particular, a goddess honored in Lithuania and in Latvia. Her name means the sun itself. She was revered in ancient times and continues to be revered in contemporary times by people who are keeping alive and bringing back Baltic paganism. Saale is the queen of heaven, the queen of earth and the cosmos. And she is celebrated with big feasts at both of the solstices, winter solstice and summer solstice, as well as the equinoxes, spring and autumn. She typically is portrayed as golden-haired, often in beautiful golden silk garments, and is crowned. She, like other sun divinities, drives a chariot across the heavens. For her, that chariot is pulled by two white golden-maned steeds. At the end of the day, she is seen as sinking down into the sea and taking a bath during the nighttime. sometimes Sahwe was known as Golden Apple. And among her symbols are solar crosses, having that in common with Bridget Breege. She also is connected with bees, with fire, with horses, and a variety of different vegetation, but in particular, the linden tree. One of the old traditions for honoring her happened at summer solstice time. People would process with light, with torches, on the shortest night of the year. And this tradition was kept alive into the 20th century and to this very day. The folk practice of processing with light to welcome in the summer solstice and to honor Sahwe has continued to happen. In fact, as Circle Sanctuary began in its early years, one of the first people connected with our center was Latvian, and he had living memory of taking part in summer solstice celebrations. It was from him that we learned about the processions with torches and living flames and the kindling of a large fire in honor of the solstice in Sahwe. And in some traditions, we learn from him and from others, sun wheels, large sun wheels, barrels with pitch set on fire would be rolled down a hill into some body of water representing the journey of the sun goddess. At Pagan Spirit Gathering, we continue the practice of carrying live flame in our opening ritual for our week-long summer solstice celebration. And we kindle a sacred fire, which we keep burning all week as part of the celebration. In some other parts of Europe, we have a goddess, a Norse goddess, Sunna, who is a sun goddess, sometimes also known as Sol, S-O-L, different than the Roman Sol that gives us solstice. And she, too, has a horse-drawn sun chariot that she rides across the sky. When we journey across time and space to Asia, we connect with the sun god Surya. He too rides the sky in a horse-drawn chariot and is continued to be a deity that's part of the Vedic and Hindu pantheons. One of the most prominent of the Asian sun deities is in the Shinto religion in Japan. Her name is Amaterasu, a name that is the great divinity illuminating heaven. She's the most important deity in the Shinto religion. She is the ruler of the high celestial plane, Taka no Hara, and that's the domain of the spirits, known as Kami. She's the elder sister of the storm god. And one of her known myths has her going into a cave after having a dispute with her storm god brother. And as she hid in the cave and blocked herself in that cave, darkness fell upon the world. The deities as well as humankind, needed her light and tried various ways to have her come forth. And one version of the story is that she was lured forth with a mirror as she caught sight of her own radiance, brilliance, and came out of the cave and started shining gloriously again. And winter solstice is a time where that story has been told. And we actually have had, as part of our winter solstice pageant, one of our storytellers recounting a version of that tale and seeing the reemergence of the sun from the cave as symbolic of the beginning and the renewal of the solar year. Amaterasu is connected with roosters who often crow as the sun rises, and ravens are also important to her. And another one of her symbols is the octagonal mirror. As we look at these samplings of solar deities, what are some things that they have in common? One of the symbols is that of a disc with rays extending, a depiction of the sun itself in the sky. How many rays come from the sun may vary from spiritual tradition and culture, but essentially the rayed orb is a very powerful and ancient sun symbol, which goes across cultures. The idea of sun chariot going across the sky, you will find repeated across cultures, and whether it's a sun goddess or a sun god. Another commonality is looking at when sun divinities are honored. They are honored typically on a daily basis as well as on a yearly basis with particular points in the sun's journey, as it is called. Of course, it's the earth that goes around the sun, but how it appears to humans on the earth has risen to the lore about the sun taking the journey across the sky. A very powerful way to call upon the sun divinity that you are most connected with is at the rising of the sun, especially if the divinity has that as part of its traditions and worship. Some will honor the sun at sunrise, at midday, at sunset, those three times during the course of the day. The sun also can be celebrated and honored in sacred ways, invoked as sun goddess and or sun god at the point of the solar year. The beginning of the solar year, the winter solstice, which in the northern hemisphere is on or near December 21st, and in the southern hemisphere, of course, on or near June 21st. At the equinoxes, on or near March and September 21st, and at the summer solstice in northern hemisphere, on or near June 21st, and then the southern hemisphere, on or near December 21st. What are some ways of being able to honor a sun divinity. Spoken prayers, traditional prayers, there are translations of some of the old texts in public domain that are available on the internet. Another is to create your own chant or spoken prayer to honor the sun divinity that you are most aligned with. To sing, to make rhythms, shaking a rattle, playing a drum, playing an instrument, a harp or a flute, a horn, a bell. Having an altar to the sun divinity that you are most aligned with is another way of being able to connect, to honor, to get guidance from, to get support from a sun divinity. Doing an offering, that offering may be the kindling of a candle, the lighting of incense, and an incense that I use frequently as part of sun honoring is frankincense. I have both sticks and cones as well as actual tears of the resin. Olibanum is another name for frankincense. It needs to be fumed over self-igniting charcoal blocks, such as you can get in some metaphysical stores and spiritual supply stores, church supply stores. Frankincense is a wonderful way of doing an offering to the sacred sun in the form of goddess and or god. And it not only smells great, but it has a long association of being used in connection with sun worship. Being outside in the sun, watching the sun rise, raising one's hands up to the sun in salutation. Hands may be placed with palms up to the sun, or they may be facing each other with the arms straight above the head. There are a variety of different sacred postures one can take with sun honoring. Another way of doing an offering to the sun is to pour a libation. A powerful libation is that of mead, because mead contains honey, and honey made by bees, long associated in many cultures with the sun. In addition to calling on the sun for support, for guidance, one can do sun thanking. And certainly, when there's been much precipitation and the sun finally reemerges, a wonderful time to give thanks for the beauty of the day, the nurturing water, but the reappearance of the sun. Some other special ways of connecting with a sun divinity includes connecting with the sun at solar eclipse times, and one, connecting with the sun at a total solar eclipse. And it's important not to look at the sun during an eclipse with your eyes without some kind of shielding, but doing solar eclipse rituals can be a really powerful way of doing sun magic and honoring divinity, because you have the sun disappearing and reappearing, and the quality of light and the power of that moment. It's great for using the power of the sun and your work with a solar divinity and letting go of what is unneeded, and renewing and rebirthing and receiving inspiration as it reappears and becomes whole in the sky again. So in looking at the sacred sun as sun goddesses and sun gods, it's also important to bring into the conversation the sacred sun or sun spirit. And in the circle craft tradition, we not only recognize sun as goddess and sun as god, but sun as spirit that goes beyond a particular gender association. And one of the rituals that I have developed over the years at the Pagan Spirit Gathering is our solstice morning community ritual. And in that ritual, we have the sacred sun as a framework, or the sun spirit, that we all connect with, regardless of our particular spiritual path and the particular sacred name or names and form or forms that we work with the sun. We dedicate the whole ceremony to honoring the sun as unity, but also sun as diversity. And this year, during our solstice morning ritual, we had a variety of sacred names of the sun and chants and prayers and blessings done. Some called the various forms of goddess and god names that we've mentioned. So there were other forms also honored, including Ahura Mazda from the Zoroastrian traditions, and in more contemporary times, also being able to be connected with enchanting by Sufis, in particular pagan Sufis at the Pagan Spirit Gathering. And some called the sun by more inclusive names, sun god or sun goddess or sacred sun, in particular invocations. One of the wonderful things about being in a multicultural, interreligious celebration of solstice is a way of being able to recognize and to celebrate the diversity of sun divinities, and to find some common ground to look at some of those concepts connected with the sun: strength, renewal, joy, success, prosperity, that have been associated with the sun across its various divine forms since ancient times. In closing, I would like to offer this thanksgiving. Sacred Sun, Holy Sun, Sun Spirit, you who are known by many sacred names across time, across cultures, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you in your many forms. We give thanks to the sun goddesses we have shared and connected with tonight. We give thanks to the sun gods we have shared and connected with tonight. We give thanks to the sun as one and as many. Sacred sun, shining bright, continue to bless us with your light. So mote it be.
You are a man, you are a man, you are a man.
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.